We present Watto Jeeves by P.G. Wodehouse. Starring Michael Horton as Jeeves and Richard Briers as Bertie Wooster. With this week's guest, Ronald Fraser as Lord Bittlesham. Episode 5, Comrade Bingo.
It isn't that often that you'll find me at Speaker's Corner, don't you know? It isn't an end of the park that collars much of Bertram Wooster's custom. But on the Sabbath after my return to the good old Metrop, I had a call to pay in Manchester Square, and having decided to hoof it, as it was a decentish afternoon, I suddenly found myself in the middle of all those weird birds on their soapboxes.
Woe unto ye, ye vipers and sinners of this generation!
Jeeves was with me, it happened, he being on his way to chew the fat with a butler pal in Hyde Park Gardens. And it was he who first drew my attention to the gaggle of ghastly outsiders trading under the name of Heralds of the Red Dawn. Jolly the park on a Sunday, is it? Makes the returned exile really sure he's back again.
It is pleasant, sir.
Can you follow a god like that? Could you?
I say, listen to that atheist, Jeeves. Pity he's got no roof to his mouth, what? Bit of a handicap in his profession, I should imagine.
Indeed, sir. I was concentrating my attentions on the bearded gentleman to our right, sir.
Does anyone ever lift a finger in my favor?
What's his line? Hello? Heralds of the Red Dawn.
No,
you know anything about them, Jeeves?
I can only hazard a conjecture that they represent a political movement of the socialist variety.
Well, he's certainly slipping into the idle rich with breadth and vigor.
Grab an earful, Jeeves. Before going down to his factory, you steal filthy husks and trifling crumbs from the starving mouths of little children.
Yes, well, I think that's about enough of him, Jeeves. Who's that stout chappy? Over there, just abaft the atheist. I know the map, but I can't place it.
That is young Mr. Little's uncle, sir, Mr. Mortimer Little. If you recall, sir, you took luncheon with him on one occasion.
That's right. No wonder I didn't recognize him. He was a sloppy old buffer when I met him, G. I think I'll stagger over and have a word with the old egg.
Very good, sir. If you have no further need of my services, I will proceed to my destination.
Righto, Jeeves. The afternoon is yours, to do with it as you will. Toodle-pip.
Goodbye, sir.
And now, Comrade Buck. The movement is continually on the upsurge.
I say,
you have heard the news from Russia, comrade.
Mr. Wooster, is it not?
Brother, how are you? Going strong?
I am in excellent health, thank you. And yourself?
Oh, in the jolly old pink, don't you know? I say, seen anything of Bingo lately?
Bingo? What is Bingo?
Oh, young Bingo, your nephew.
Oh, Richard. No, not very recently. Since my marriage, a little coolness seems to have sprung up.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. So you've got splices, I saw you like. Mrs. Little all right?
My wife is happily robust, but not Mrs. Little. On the publication of the last honours list, I became Lord Bittlesham.
By Jove, really? I say, well, heartiest congratulations and all that sort of rot. That's the stuff to give the troops, eh? But dash it. Lord Bittlesham, you're the owner of Ocean Breeze.
Oh, indeed.
Well, I've got my chemise on it.
And I hope the quadruped will justify your confidence in it, Mr. Wooster. I know little of these matters myself, but my wife tells me that it is regarded in knowledgeable circles as what I believe is termed a snip.
Absolutely. Oh, I say, look, that blighter's started up again.
Which, blighter? Is that, Mr. Wooster?
The Red Dawn chappy, don't you know? That bearded egg in the slouch hat and tweed suit. I say, he's pointing at us.
Yes! Look at him! Drink him in! Look at the tall, thin one with a face like a motor mascot.
I say!
Has he ever done a day's work in his life? No! No! 100 times no, comrades! A prowler, a trifler, and a bloodsucker, if ever I saw one. And I bet he still owes his tailor for those trousers.
I say, by Joe, that's Bertie.
A great gift of expression these fellows have, Mr. Wooster. Very trenchant.
Well, I don't know, you know.
And a fat one. Don't miss him.
What?
Do you know who that is? That's Lord Bittlesham. One of the worst. What's he ever done except eat 4 square meals a day? Not a thing. Not a thing, comrades. His gourd is his belly. And he sacrifices burnt offerings to it.
I say, that's rather well put, don't you think?
I do not, Mr. Mr. Worcester.
If you open up Lord Bittlesham now, comrades, you would find inside him enough lunch to support 10 working-class families for a week.
Come away, Mr. Worcester, quickly, please. Let us at least try to behave with dignity. I am the last man to oppose the right of free speech, but I refuse to listen to this vulgar abuse any longer.
Absolutely, don't you know? Beastly rude. Beastly.
I don't know what the country's coming to, Mr. Worcester.
Absolutely. Quite. 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 The next day, I looked in at the Drones Club for a game of rackets with Beefy and Strubber. I was just knocking up on court and waiting for him to materialize, when young Bingo Little tooled in, grinning like a cat that's been locked in the dairy all night and has been rather letting itself go in the matter of the cream.
Bertie! Hello, old thing. I heard you were in here. How's the prowling these days?
Oh, tolerable, Bingo, tolerable. And you?
Oh, jogging along.
Uh-huh. I saw your Uncle Mortimer yesterday.
I know you did, you trifler.
You weren't there?
Yes, I was.
Well, I didn't see you.
Oh, yes, you did. Perhaps you didn't recognize me in the shrubbery.
Shrubbery?
The beard, laddie, the beard.
What?
What a beard, eh? Worth every penny I paid for it. Of course, it's a nuisance having people shouting beaver at you the whole time, but it's absolutely guaranteed to defy detection.
But, Pinko, I mean, why? I mean, what are you playing at?
I'll tell you. But first, give me your honest opinion, Bertie. Isn't she the most wonderful girl you ever saw in your puff?
Well, who? Where?
This photograph, fathead.
Oh. Oh, my golly. This? She's all eyes and teeth.
Wonderful eyes, Bertie. Wonderful teeth.
What? Oh, great Scott, Bingo, don't tell me. Don't tell me you're in love again.
What do you mean, again?
Well, to my certain knowledge, you've been in love with at least half a dozen girls since the spring. It's only July now. There was that waitress, Honoria Glossop.
Oh, and there was... tush, Bertie. Not to say pish. Those girls, mere passing fancies. This is the real thing.
Well, it would be, of course. All right, Bingo, where did you meet this one?
On top of a bus. Her name is Charlotte Corday Rowbottom.
My God!
Her father had her christened that because he's all for the revolution, and it seems the original Charlotte Corday used to go about stabbing oppressors in their baths, which old Rowbottom approves of. You must meet him, actually, Bertie. Delightful chap. Wants to massacre the bourgeoisie, sack Park Lane, and disembowel the hereditary aristocracy. Well, nothing could be fairer than that. What?
What?
Oh, never mind. About Charlotte. We fell in love within 5 minutes, and 2 days later I bought the beard and toddled round to meet the family.
Yes, but why the beard, Bingo?
Well, she told me all about her father on the bus, you see, and I realized that to get any footing at all in the home, I should have to join these Red Dawn blighters. And naturally, if I was to make speeches in the park, something fairly fruity in the nature of disguise was indicated. So I bought the fungus, and by Jove, it's certainly done me a lot of good with old Rowbottom. He thinks I'm a Bolshevist hiding from the police.
My God!
You really must meet old Rowbottom, Bertie. Tell you what, you're doing anything tomorrow afternoon?
Huh? No, nothing special. Why?
Good. Then you can have us all to tea at your flat.
No.
Thank you, Bertie. We're delighted to accept your invitation.
No.
It'll save me money, laddie. And believe me, nowadays, as far as I'm concerned, a penny saved is a penny earned. My uncle told you he got married.
Yes, he did. He said there was a coolness between you.
Coolness? I'm down to zero. Ever since he married, he's been launching out in every direction and economizing on me. He's even started a racing stick. Oh, by the way, put your last collar stud on Ocean Breeze for the Goodwood Cup. It's a cert.
I'm going to.
Can't lose. Anyway, old chap, must be going. Do us well at tea tomorrow, and blessings shall reward you.
But, Bingo,
oh, by the way, I may have misled you by using the word tea. None of Jeeves's niftily cut wafer slices of bread and butter, old man. We're good trenchermen, we of the revolution. What we shall require will be something of the order of scrambled eggs, muffins, jam, ham, cake, and 5 or 6 wagon loads of sardines. Expect us at 5 sharp.
But, Bingo, I said, I'm not quite sure
about... Yes, you are. Use your intelligence, you prowling inhaler of red core puzzles. Don't you see this is going to do you a bit of good when the revolution breaks loose? When you see old Rowbottom sprinting up Piccadilly with a dripping knife in each hand, you'll be jolly thankful to be able to remind him that he once ate your tea and shrimps. There'll be 4 of us. Charlotte, self, the old man, and Comrade Butt. I suppose he'll insist on coming along.
Who the devil's Comrade Butt?
Did you notice a fellow standing on my left in our little troop yesterday? Small, shriveled chap, looks like a haddock with lung trouble. Well, that's Butt, my rival, dash him. He's sort of semi-engaged to Charlotte at the moment. But hang it all, Bertie. If I can't thoroughly encompass this butt and cut him out and put him where he belongs among the discards, well, I'm not the man I was, that's all. Well, I must be pushing now. Oh, I say, you don't know how I could raise 50 quid somehow, do you?
Why don't you work?
Work? What, me? No. I'll have to think of some way. I must put at least 50 quid on Ocean Breeze. Well, see you tomorrow, old sort. God bless you, and don't forget the muffins. But Bingo, Bingo...
Oh, dash it.
The heralds of the Red Dawn, when young Bingo unleashed them on me the following afternoon, proved to be a very C3 collection. Comrade Butt looked like one of those things that come out of dead trees after the rain. Moth-eaten was the word I should have used to describe old Robottom, and as for Charlotte, well, it wasn't that she was exactly bad-looking. There was just too much of her. Rather like the Albert Hall, made of jelly, if you know what I mean. All billowy curves and wobble. However, they all waded into the foodstuffs as if eating were a totally new experience for them, and I was just beginning to feel that the binge was going on forever, when suddenly supplies gave out, and as if they'd been called upon to sing a trio, they sprang to their feet.
I must thank you for your hospitality, Mr. Wooster.
Oh, not at all. Glad you liked it, Mr. Robottom.
Comrade Robottom, and may I say Comrade Wooster?
No. I beg your pardon?
Are you not of the movement? Do you not yearn for the revolution?
Well, I don't know that I exactly yearn, don't you know. I mean to say, as far as I can make out, the whole hub of the scheme seems to be to massacre coves like me. And I don't mind owning I'm not frankly keen on the idea.
I'm talking him round, Mr. Robottom. I'm wrestling with him. A few more treatments ought to do the trick. Eh, Comrade Wooster?
Yes, Bingo. Ouch! Comrade.
Comrade Little certainly has great eloquence.
I think he talks something wonderful.
Oh, Charlotte.
Oh, Richard. Oh, behave yourself. Thank you so much for your generosity, Comrade Wooster.
Generosity?
Yes, Comrade Butt. Comrade Wooster has been very kind.
Huh. Oh, wonder the food didn't turn to ashes in our mouths. Eggs, muffins, sardines, all wrung from the bleeding lips of the starving poor.
Oh, I say, what a beastly idea.
I'll send you some literature on the subject of the cause, Mr. Wooster. And soon I hope we shall see you at one of our little meetings.
Oh, yes, righto. Jeeves, Miss Robottom's coat.
Very good, sir.
Hey, what's this? What's this? No civility, if you don't mind. No civility.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Don't call me, sir. Call me comrade. Do you know what you are? You're an obsolete relic of an exploded feudal system.
Very good, sir.
If there's one thing that makes my blood boil in my veins...
I think we ought to be going. Come along, everyone. Bye-bye, Bertie. Comrade Wooster, and thanks.
Phew, that's the first sensible thing Bingo's done since I've known him.
Oh, Richard, naughty!
Oh, all gone, Jeeves?
Yes,
Thank goodness for that. Well, Jeeves, how about it?
I would prefer to express no opinion, sir.
Well, don't worry. All through tea, I could see by the look of your back what you felt.
Jeeves, Mr. Little is in love with that female.
So I gathered, sir. She was slapping him in the passage.
Slapping him?
Yes, sir. Roguishly.
Great Scott! I didn't know it had got as far as that.
But how did Comrade Butt seem to be taking it? His Bingo's rival, you know.
He struck me as extremely jealous, sir.
Well, I can't see it, Jeeves. I cannot see it. Young Charlotte may have a heart of gold. The thing I noticed about her first was she had a tooth of gold. And a few Swedish exercises wouldn't do her any harm either, Jeeves.
There is much in what you say, sir.
And I know that young Bingo, when in form, can fall in love with practically anything of the opposite sex. But this time, Jeeves, I frankly can't find any excuse for him at all.
No, sir.
Well, what are we going to do about it?
I could not say, sir.
Nor could I, Jeeves, nor could I. But it's a bit thick, that's all.
Precisely, sir.
A bit belly thick. I had promised to meet young Bingo next day, tell him what I thought of his infernal Charlotte. And I was mooching slowly up St. James's Street, trying to think how the dickens I could explain to him, without hurting his feelings, that I considered her one of the world's foulest, when who should come toddling out of the Devonshire Club but old Bittlesham and Bingo himself? I what-hoed in a chummy sort of manner, but the result of this simple greeting was a bit of a shock. Old Bittlesham's face went a delicate shade of green, his eyes popped, and he quivered from head to foot like a Pollack's blancmange.
Oh! Mr. Wooster! You gave me a severe start.
Oh, sorry.
My uncle isn't feeling quite himself this morning, Bertie. He's had a threatening letter.
I go in fear of my life, Mr. Wooster.
Threatening letter?
Yes, Mr. Wooster. written in an uneducated hand and couched in terms of uncompromising menace. Do you recall that sinister, bearded man who assailed me in no measured terms in Hyde Park last Sunday?
What? Why the... Ah, yes. A bearded man, yes. Chap of the beard, you mean. On his face and so forth. Absolutely.
Could you identify him if necessary?
Well, how do you mean?
The fact is, Bertie, we think this man with the beard is at the bottom of all this business. I happened to be walking late last night through Pouncebury Gardens, where Uncle Mortimer lives, and as I was passing the house, a fellow came hurrying down the steps in a furtive sort of way. Probably he'd just been shoving the threatening L in at the front door. I noticed he had a beard. Why, I didn't think any more of it, of course, until Uncle Mortimer rang me this morning. I'm going to make inquiries.
The police should be informed, Richard.
No, not at this stage of the proceedings, Uncle. It would hamper me. But don't you worry. I think I can track this fellow down. You leave it all to me. Look, I'll pop you into a taxi now and go and talk it over with Bertie. Taxi!
You're a good boy, Richard. Bless you.
Goodbye, Uncle, and don't worry.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
What ho, Bertie.
Bingo. Did you send that bally letter?
Rather. You ought to have seen it. One of the best gent's ordinary threatening letters I ever wrote.
But where's the sense of it?
Bertie, if I'd gone to my uncle and asked him for 50 quid, would I have got it? No. But now, look. A cheque, an absolute dash cheque, for 50 of the best, signed Bittlesham, and made out to the order of R. Little. Expenses, Bertie, for my investigation.
But bingo, I say.
So I now proceed to the bank and startle them into a fit with it. Later, I edge round my bookie and put the entire sum on Ocean Breeze. And then, after Goodwood, I collect enough to marry Charlotte on. How about that?
But bingo!
Oh, by the way, what did you think of her? Charlotte, I mean.
Well,
I know, old man. Don't try to find words. She bowled you over, eh? Left you speechless, what? I know. That's the effect she has on everybody. Well, I'll leave you here. Before we part, but. What about but? Nature's worst blunder, what?
Well, I must say, I've seen cheerier souls.
But dash it, bingo!
I think I've got him licked, Bertie. Charlotte's coming to the zoo with me this afternoon. Alone. And later on to the pictures. That looks like the beginning of the end, what? Well, toodaloo, friend of my youth.
But bingo! Toodaloo! Bingo. Oh, dash the fellow. I lost sight of young Bingo after that. I left messages a couple of times at the club, but they might have been begging letters for all the effect they had, so I took it that he was too busy making a stupendous ass of himself to respond. The red dawn blighters also passed out of my life, with the result that things toddled on quite peacefully for a while. And then Goodwood came along, as it does, so I dug out the best suit, a jolly tie, and a brightish bit of shirting that only just passed Jeeves' screen test, and biffed down for the day. Glorious Goodwood, eh, Jeeves?
The epithet is most apt, sir.
Absolutely. I mean, look at it. Blue sky, the rolling prospect, the joyous crowds of pickpockets, the parties of the second part having their pockets picked.
And the heralds of the Red Dawn, sir?
What? Are they here?
So I am reliably informed, sir. I chanced to meet Mr. Butt. Perhaps he would prefer me to say Comrade Butt. One evening last week, he revealed to me that they intended to hold a meeting or rally just outside the paddock.
Good heavens. Is young Bingo going to be here?
I would imagine so, sir.
Well, he's taking a bit of a risk, isn't he? Supposing old Bittlesham recognizes him?
Presumably Mr. Little is relying on his facial disguise retaining its effectiveness, sir.
Oh, the beard, you mean? Yeah, something in that, I suppose. How was Comrade Butt, then?
More than usually gloomy, sir. He gave me to understand, without, of course, saying so in so many words, that Mr. Little, by his exertions for the cause, had eclipsed him almost entirely in the competition for the favours of the young lady.
Oh, the bulging Charlotte. Well, that's bad news, Jeeves. Very bad news.
Yes.
I suppose what it amounts to is that when young Bingo really takes his coat off and starts in, there is no power of God or man that can prevent him from making a chump of himself.
It would appear so, sir.
I mean, how the deuce does he think he's going to get away with marrying into a family of such pronounced loonies, Jeeves? That's what I want to know. Oh, Biddlesham's bound to knock off his allowance if he goes ahead. With a fellow like Bingo, if you knock off his allowance, you might as well hit him on the head with an axe and make a clean job of it.
I dare say you're right, sir.
They're under starter's orders.
I say, Jeeves, The cup's about to start.
Yes, sir, I observed, sir.
You've got your little oar on Ocean Breeze, I take it?
No, sir.
No? But Jeeves, the beast's an absolute dash cert. If I were you, I'd...
They're off.
I'd go... Well, too late now. They're off.
Yes.
Ocean Breeze! Ocean Breeze! Oh, I say, Jeeves, where's Ocean Breeze? Oh, dash it! What's happened to Ocean Breeze? Oh, hang it all! It's not even the first six! Oh, my golly! Dash it all! Dash it all! Jeeves! What the blazes went wrong?
I fear I could not say, sir.
But the bally animal was absolutely nowhere, Jeeves.
I believe that is the technical expression, sir.
But one had come to look on the race as a pure formality, Jeeves. A sort of quaint old world ceremony to be gone through before one sorted up to the bookie and collected. Oh, dash it, dash it, dash it.
Very good, sir.
Here is the result of the Goodwood Cup. First, number 3, Sombrero. Second, number 8, Gallivanter. Third... Number 4.
Oh, poor old Bingo must be feeling it a bit.
So I would imagine, sir. if you were to look to your left, sir, you would observe his uncle, the Lord Bittlesham.
What? Oh, yes, poor old Blighter. He looks considerably rattled and purple, too, Jeeves. I suppose I better go over and commiserate with the old boy.
Yes, sir.
And then, Jeeves, I think I'm going to shoot straight back to London.
Sir?
Oh, I know this was meant to be a jolly day out and all that sort of rot, but my heart's gone out of this bally race meeting all of a sudden.
Very good, sir.
Do you want to stay?
If you could spare me, sir, I would greatly appreciate the opportunity of watching the remaining races on the card. I could catch a train back sometime this evening, sir.
Right-ho, Jeeves, you go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir.
Toodaloo, then.
Goodbye, sir.
Pip, pip. Lord Bittlesham?
Oh, Mr. Worcester.
Me too, me too. How much did you drop?
Drop?
On Ocean Breeze.
I did not bet on Ocean Breeze.
What? You owned the favourite for the cup and didn't back it?
I never bet on horse racing. It is against my principles. I am told that the animal failed to win the contest.
Failed to win? He was so far behind, he's probably got a good chance in the next race.
Let us be thankful for that, then, Mr. Worcester.
Huh? Oh. Mm. I say, my jolly old peer of the realm, if you hadn't dropped a parcel on Ocean Breeze, why are you looking so dash rattled?
Mr. Worcester, that fellow is here.
What fellow?
That bearded man.
Oh, I know that. Oh, I saw him earlier.
At this very moment, Mr. Worcester, that man is making an inflammatory speech specifically directed at me. He is accusing me of having deliberately misled the public as to Ocean Breeze's ability.
I'm not surprised. He probably lost a packet himself, don't you know?
Come and listen for yourself, Mr. Worcester, where that crowd is.
Oh, righto.
But what does Lord Bittlesham worry if the poor working man loses his hard-earned savings on his rotten horse?
I tell you, friends and
I tell you, friends and comrades, you may talk, you may argue, you may cheer, and you may pass resolutions. But what you need is action. Action. The world won't be a fit place for honest men to live in till the blood of Lord Bittlesham and his kind flows in rivers down a gutter to Park Lane.
Officer! Officer! Come here!
Sir?
Officer, I demand, I insist, you arrest that man at once.
Why, sir?
Damn it, man, he is threatening my personal safety. I am Lord Bittlesham.
Yes, my lord. Well, I think you'll find that it's just talk, my lord. Nothing to concern yourself about.
What? Officer, this is monstrous.
Oh, I'm sorry, my lord, but... Sir...
Thank you, friends. And now, friends, Comrade Butt would like to say a few words.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Comrades, we have all been much moved by what Our comrade here with the beard has just said about Lord Bittlesham. But comrades, you may not realise that Lord Bittlesham is actually here with us at this very moment in time. There he is!
This is outrageous, Mr. Worcester.
Absolutely.
Comrades! day. Every day and every hour, our movement against the vile plutocracy that Lord Bittlesham represents is gaining strength and momentum.
Yeah.
It is spreading like wildfire, comrades.
Yeah.
Even among the so-called upper classes it is spreading. Perhaps you believe me, comrade. Don't go, Lord Bittlesham. Perhaps you believe me, comrades, when I tell you that here today, on this very spot, we have in our little band of earnest workers the nephew of Lord Bittlesham himself.
Yeah.
Here!
Hey, that's my beard!
Richard!
Bunger! I'll belly throttle you!
Excuse me, sir! Excuse me! Let me pass, please! Right, come along, you two! Stop that! Both of you! Come along! Come along with me!
Richard! Richard!
Oh, my golly, Uncle! Oh, my golly!
Sometimes when Jeeves has brought in my morning tea and shoved it on the table beside my bed, he drifts silently from the room and leaves me to go to it. At other times, he sort of shimmies respectfully in the middle of the carpet, and then I know that he wants a word or two. On the day after Goodwood, I was lying on my back staring at the ceiling when I noticed that he was still in my midst.
Oh, yes, Jeeves?
Mr. Little called earlier in the morning, sir.
Oh, by Jove, what? Did he tell you what happened?
Yes, sir. It was in connection with that he wished to see you. He proposes to retire to the country and remain there for some little while.
Dash sensible.
That was my opinion also, sir. There was, however, a slight financial difficulty to be overcome. I took the liberty of advancing him £10 on your behalf to meet current expenses. I trust that meets with your approval, sir?
Oh, of course. Take a tenner off the dressing table.
Very good, sir.
He told you all, did he, Jeeves?
I believe so, sir.
Well, I'm bound to say that he acted with a good deal of decision and character, Jeeves, when he lost his beard, you know. To grab Comrade Butt by the neck and try to twist his head off was for him the work of a moment.
I am hardly surprised, sir.
What beats me, though, is how the diggings of the thing happened. I mean, how did the chappy Butt ever get to know who he was?
There, sir, I fear I may have been somewhat to blame.
You? How?
I fear I may have carelessly disclosed Mr. Little's identity to Mr. Butt on the occasion when I had that conversation with him.
What?
Indeed. Now I recall the incident. I distinctly remember saying that Mr. Little's work for the cause really seemed to me to deserve something in the nature of public recognition. I greatly regret having been the means of bringing about a temporary estrangement between Mr. Little and his lordship. And I am afraid there is another aspect of the matter, sir. I am also responsible for the breaking off of relations between Mr. Little and the young lady who came to tea here.
What? Do you mean to say it's off?
Completely, sir. I gathered from Mr. Little's remarks that his hopes in that direction may now be looked on as definitely quenched. If there were no other obstacle, the young lady's father, I'm informed by Mr. Little, now regards him as a spy and a deceiver.
Well, I'm dashed.
I appear inadvertently to have caused much trouble, sir.
Jeeves?
Sir?
How much money is there on the dressing table?
In addition to the £10 note which you instructed me to take, sir, there are 2 £5 notes, 3 £1, 10 shillings, 2 half-crowns, a florin, 4 shillings, 6 pence and 1/2, sir.
Collar it all, Jeeves. You've earned it.
In that episode of What Ho Jeeves, the parts were played as follows. Jeeves, Michael Horden, Bertie, Richard Brars. Lord Bittlesham, Ronald Fraser. Bingo Little, Jonathan Cecil. Comrade Butt, Richard O'Callaghan. Charlotte, Anne Davis. Old Rowbottom, Nigel Anthony. Comrade Bingo was adapted for radio by Chris Miller from the book The Inimitable Jeeves by P.G. Woodhouse. What Ho Jeeves was produced by David Hatch.